Hallelujah. I think I'm on now. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to John chapter 15. Again, we're starting a new series that I've preached several times before. But how many of you know faith doesn't come by having heard? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 7. Hallelujah. And while you're turning and getting there, I'm going to pray and believe God tonight. You know, Paul prayed this. He said, Lord, I pray that I'd have boldness, that I would have utterance. And that must mean that's God's will for the message.
That's right.
Or Paul wouldn't have prayed against God's will. So we're going to pray and believe the same things. Father, help us tonight. Lord, we're so honored to be around your word. This is you. We're gathered together here to hear from you tonight. Now, Father, help me, Lord, as the minister of this service, as the pastor of this church, help me to feed your people. Father, you told Peter before you left, you said, the way that he can show you that he loves you truly is to make sure that he feeds the sheep. Father, that is my heart's desire, that people would walk out of here tonight with something that will cause their life to change for the better, Father, something that will feed their spirits and help them. And so, Father, we need boldness tonight. We need utterance. Father, we need me to speak as the oracles of God. We don't need man's plans, man's ideas, man's theories, philosophies, thoughts, Lord. No, we need to hear from heaven tonight. So, Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you're going to fill it. And, Father, I thank you. We'll give you the praise and the glory for everything good that comes from this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in John chapter 15, in verse 7, it says, if you, and this is red letters, Jesus talking. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's a pretty good promise. That's a pretty good one right there. I like that one. Praise God. It says in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now, when it talks about here in verse 8 that the Father's glorified, so that would mean that that's a good thing that the Father enjoys, that the Father is pro you bearing much fruit. That when you bear much fruit, he's glorified, he enjoys that, that's what he wants. But it says, herein is my Father glorified. Well, you have to find out what the herein is, and it's talking about verse 7 when he says, if you abide in me and my words in you, you shall ask what you will. That means you're asking, you're believing, you're going down the road for something that's not there yet, that you need, whatever it would be. And it says, and it'll be done for you. That means that will appear. Well, that's the fruit that he's talking about. He's talking about your life changing in the direction of what you need, what you desire, praise God. And it's not just money, it's not just health. You might need more peace. You might need more patience. You might need more courage. You might need more wisdom. Whatever it is, he said that you can ask him, it'll come forth. And he calls that coming forth or that manifestation of verse 7. We'll go back to verse 7. He calls the manifest, thank you, a manifestation of verse 7, asking what you will, it'll be done unto you. He likens that to bearing fruit. He likens that to fruit coming forward, praise God. And then in verse 8, we saw it says, herein is my Father glorified. Where? When you ask and things come forth and change. God's glorified when you bear much fruit, praise God. I'm excited and glad about that, praise God. But I want you to see a couple things going forward. So this series, well, I'll tell you in a second what it is. But if real quick, notice the Bible likens you to a fruit-producing tree, a fruit-producing bush that can bring forth fruit. And so I want to show you something in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. So God wants your prayers answered. He wants things to change. He wants you to actually see things. He wants you to actually experience things, good things in your life. And he calls that bearing fruit. And he says he wants you to bear much fruit. And that he's glorified when it happens. Aren't you glad he didn't just say, I want you to bear a little fruit. I want you to bear some fruit. He said, I want you to bear much fruit. Yeah. Praise God. And in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 9, it says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." Kimlai, would you please pull that verse up in the Amplified? Now remember, he likened you to bearing fruit. Well, an apple tree bears fruit. A blackberry bush bears fruit, right? An orange tree bears fruit. It says, "For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God." Now notice this, when it talks about God's husbandry, you are God's garden, vineyard, and field under cultivation. You are God's building. Now think about that word. When it says you are God's husbandry, what it's talking about is God's field, garden and vineyard here. Now, we'll think about a field, a garden, and a vineyard. What do all three of those have in common? They bring forth things. They bring forth things to bring blessing. People plant a garden. Why? To bring forth things to be a blessing. People plant fruit trees. Why? To bring forth. People cultivate fields. Why? To bring something forth to be a blessing. Vineyards are planted. Why? To bring something forth that would be a blessing. And the Bible says that you are God's field. You are God's vineyard. You are God's bush. You're God's tree here. You are God's field. You are God's vineyard. You are God's land. You are God's garden. He desires that from your life, you produce fruit. Now, what's the fruit that he's talking about? Verse 7, that which you will, that which you need, that which is going to cause you to be successful and blessed in life, praise God. That's what God wants for you. Hallelujah. So we, as Christians, are meant to produce good things. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Now, you might think, my goodness, this is the way I would think. If I were there sitting there thinking, I'm not producing anything. Things are not coming forth in my life. Nothing good springing forth from my life. Then I would say to myself, I'd say, well, then I'm in the right place at the right time. Because I need to know how to get this to happen. Because this is God's will. You know, a person doesn't plant an apple tree and then just, oh, it's just not supposed to produce apples. No, they want apples. God wants you to bear fruit. It's the process. It's the natural, spiritually, but naturally, they go hand in hand, that this is just supposed to happen. We're to be fruit producers. Why? We're fields. We're gardens. We're vineyards, praise God. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. To show you a little bit about what that fruit coming forth is. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. You say, that doesn't seem like that big of a deal. What's grace? Well, grace is God's abilities. Grace is God's favor. Grace is God's protection. Grace is God's wisdom. It's the way you could, a good acronym for grace that's always stuck with me, for G-R-A-C-E, for each letter, would be God's riches at Christ's expense. So Christ paid a price, but the price he paid now gives us things that we can partake of. Through Jesus and through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we can walk in peace. We can actually experience the grace of God in our lives. Supernatural healing, supernatural provision, supernatural miracles, signs and wonders, doors opening for us, God's riches. And it says grace and peace be multiplied. Well, multiply means something coming forth in a large quantity. Think about when a farmer goes out and scatters some corn seed in a field. What gets multiplied? What comes forth? A whole lot more corn than seed, right? Because that's the way the field's meant to do. And God says, you as the field, you as the garden, you as the vineyard are meant to produce much fruit. And if your life doesn't look like that, again, you're in the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. But grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord of God and our Lord Jesus our Lord, according, verse 3, as his divine power, notice this, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. What are the things springing forth? What are the bearing much fruit? Everything you need spiritually, everything you need naturally. Amen. Everything God is saying, my desire for you is that grace and peace would be multiplied unto you, and that everything you need that is in this life and spiritually in your life to be to succeed spiritually and to dominate in that realm, he said, that's my heart for you, praise God. That's what we're supposed to bring forth, people. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. It doesn't matter if that's not what it looks like in most people's lives. It doesn't matter if that's not the flow of most Christians' lives. That is what's supposed to be the flow. But why are we preaching this series? Because we're going to find out in this series that just like anything with God, and I'm big on making sure you know, because religion tries to tell you one thing, but the Word and Spirit will tell you something different. And religion, and I preach this on Wednesday night about authority, and we start a new series on Wednesday night about authority, and the big thing about that first service was understanding the need for authority, because so many people don't understand, why would I have to use authority when there's a God who can just do it? But we saw on Wednesday night that God can't do anything without you. And a lot of people don't know that. And a lot of people think that's blasphemy. And a lot of people think you're crazy and off your rocker. But it's a true statement. Jesus said, whatsoever you bind, heaven will back. Whatsoever you loose, heaven will back. James died in Acts chapter 12. Why? Because the church didn't pray. And when the church prayed for Peter, God's hands were untied and God moved, praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Elijah, a man like you and I, When God wanted the rain to stop, he needed a man to pray for it on the earth. Why? We learned on Wednesday night that you see, a lot of people, it's like they watch a movie, and they've missed the first couple of scenes, and something major happened, or some character was, or something was said, and then later on in the movie, they come and sit down, and they're confused. Right. What's going on? And they say, well, and yet, and the person that knows, well, you weren't here for the beginning of the important scene. Well, a lot of people miss the beginning scenes of the movie. You need to listen to the Wednesday night message back when the power was transferred to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve transferred it to the devil, and now you'll know why this part of the movie we're in, why life is hell on earth, and why the news is the way it is, and why coronavirus, and why the election, and why this, and why that. It's because there's a devil in charge. Amen. And so many people don't know these principles, and they think, why do I need to take authority? Why do I need to do anything? God will do it. No, he will not. And if you don't understand the beginning of the movie, you'll just sit on your hands. Well, it's the same thing with this. People think, well, if this is God's will to bear much fruit, then it'll just happen. Grace and peace will just happen to me. All things that I need will just happen to me. And then the people that aren't receiving it will say a couple things. They'll either say, number one, the word isn't true. Or they'll say, number two, it just doesn't work for me. Well, the word is true, and it would work for you if you'd work it. It will. It will work for you. The word will work for you. Amen. The word will work for you. And so we need to show you, because in this series, why are we preaching this series? Because you have a part to play in whether or not fruit comes forth in your life. Abundant life is available. It's not just a pipe dream. You know, pie in the sky, just blowing smoke. Abundant life, Jesus said, I've come to give it to you. I want you to receive this. I want you to have it. Well, bearing much fruit would be that abundant life. Hallelujah. And he says in verse 8, in John chapter 15 and verse 8, notice this. This is so important to recognize, because it helps you to realize how much God is for this. It says, herein is my Father glorified. It says that he is actually glorified when we bear much fruit. It's a good depiction of who he is when his kids bear fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the light of the world. We have what the world needs. Well, growing up, I'm not trying to bash family members, and I'm not, and especially, you know, there's some of them that are in heaven, you know, and they believed in Jesus or in heaven, regardless of how skilled they were in the word. And I'm not trying to bash them, but I'm going to tell you what. Growing up, I was not attracted to the Christian lifestyle. Well, there's nothing about it to be attracted. Bunch of grumpy, judgmental, sick, broke people. Come on now. Just because I'm talking about your family members now, come on. I'm just telling you the truth. There was nothing about it that drew me to it. See, now, we think, well, Jesus should be enough. He's not enough to the unsaved person that doesn't know, that doesn't have a renewed mind. Yes, now, he's enough for me. I don't need the healing. I don't need the prosperity. I don't need all the other stuff. Jesus is enough. But Jesus wasn't just enough to have me be drawn to him. And Jesus didn't expect himself to just be enough when he was on the earth. The Bible says many believed him because of the miracles. Thousands of people got saved after the lame man at the gate there, Peter and John healed him. And thousands of people got saved. Why? Not because they knew Jesus was enough. Because they saw something. Something attracted them. And the Bible says that, does a city, are we supposed to, do you put a light under a bushel? Do you hide a light or do you set a light on a candlestick? We're the light of the world, praise God. We represent, the Bible says in one place, we're ambassadors for Christ. Do you think when they send ambassadors for the United States over to other places, what do they have to do? They're there to represent the U.S. And if they don't do a good job representing the U.S., they'll get pulled out of that place. They don't just dress and wear and talk and look however they want to. Amen. Praise God. And so many Christians are the judgmental ones of the earth. So many Christians are the ones passing judgment and are rude and cheap. I was at a restaurant one time. I was working in the oil and gas fields before I was a pastor. And I was at a restaurant one time, and there was a girl there that the guy I worked with, he liked her, you know. Oh, he really liked her, and he was flirting with her all the time. And she was talking, and he asked her, what are you doing this weekend? She said, oh, I don't know, probably nothing. You know, I got to work Sunday. And he said, oh, that's a bummer. And she said, yeah, it's our busiest day. And so then I just said, you know, well, at least with it being your busiest day as a waitress, you probably make the most tips. She said, no, it's my worst day. It's my busiest day, but it's my worst day for tips. I said, why? And she said, it's because when all the church people come in. They're the cheapest of them all. More customers on a Sunday than she gets during the week and gets less tips on a Sunday when all the church people are coming in after church. But that's how Christians are. Cheapskates, judgmental, condemnation, broke, sick, grumpy, grumbling at work, talking behind people's back. Man, it's quiet in here. What happened? It's the truth. The way we are going to attract a hurting world to Jesus is by bearing fruit. Not just financial fruit, not just healing, fruit of love, fruit of mercy, fruit of patience. What about fruit of faith when the world's going to hell and we're just standing there full of faith and fire, praise God, laying hands on the sick, casting out devils? But that's not how most Christians live. Most Christians live like a dried up, withered apple tree that produces nothing. It's the truth. And it's a twofold purpose of why he would want us to bear much fruit. It's because, number one, he loves you as his child, and he wants you blessed. But number two, why would I want that? But yet you can be someone in the midst of financial economy problems and hell breaking loose at your work, and you got joy and you got peace, and you're laying hands on your kids, and your kids are recovering, and things are happening, and you're full of faith. That's what draws people. That's what draws people. I got born again because I was on a baseball team and I was just one miserable son of a gun. Oh man, was I miserable. Just depressed, you know, sad, miserable. And here was this guy, Randy Nailbone, on the team. And you know, he was always happy, always full of joy and peace. He was kind. He invited me places. When we'd go out, you know, I didn't have very much money back at that time to even buy dinner, you know. He'd pay for my meals. He took me to his hunting cabin, let me shoot a deer, gutted the thing for me, dragged the thing for me. This is all while I'm not a Christian, you know, not born again. And I was so drawn. How can anyone live happy like this? How can anyone live where they're not stressed out to go out to eat? I'm just telling you where I was. I was drawn. Well, he was bearing much fruit. And I was drawn to it. And he was representing Jesus well, praise God. And I got born again. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know how many people have said to me, Pastor Mike, I want what you have. Well, you can have it, but I'm glad I'm exuding something that you want. Hallelujah. He wants you to bear much fruit. But notice this in verse 7. Verse 7 tells you how you do that. Verse 7 says, if, remember now this doesn't just happen automatically. If you, that means you have to do something, abide in me. And then notice what he says, and my words abide in you. Now remember, he and his words are the same. He and his words are the same. Let me give you an example. If I'm in my house and I tell Abby, knock it off, she's going to knock it off because Daddy's there. But you know what? If Court will send me a text, say Abby's doing something, and I send a text message back to Courtney saying, she better knock it off or else. Well, I'm not there, but my words are. And they're the exact same thing. She knows. Dad said that. In fact, today I was working out and trying to get her away from me. You know why I'm doing that? And she came out to me and she said, Dad, Caleb still won't play with me. He said he would. And she knows the power of my word. You know what she said? Now here's this little 7-year-old with 10-year-old brother who's not going to listen to a word she says. She says, can I go tell him that you said if you don't play with me, you're getting a spank right now? Because she knew that if I bring Dad's words in there, even though it's coming from her. Why? Because my words and me are the same. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words, well, he is the word, the word is him. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Notice the caveat. I learned that word in business class. They went together. Caveat emptor, which meant buyer beware. I guess it's Latin, maybe? Yeah. Is that Latin? Anybody know? Maybe some smart people saying yes. Some will believe them. But there's a caveat to this. Oh, I want the fruit. I want to produce much fruit. God says it. He's for it. Okay. But there's an if. His words and him, you have to abide in him and him abide in you. Praise God. So think about this. Whether or not you are a bearer of much fruit, all comes down to doing the right thing with one thing, the Word of God. If you'll do the right thing with the Word, you'll bear much fruit. If you do the wrong thing with the Word, you won't bear much fruit. So we're going to go and we say, well, what does that mean to abide in Him? What does it mean to do the right things through the Word? Thank God Jesus didn't leave us in the dark. Yeah. He gave us a whole parable called the parable of the sower. Yeah. And that whole parable is about Jesus. We're going to read it in a second. Jesus talking about someone sowing the Word and the Word falling on people and people doing different things with the Word and some not producing anything and some producing a whole lot. Praise God, but we get our directions. And then we can decide for ourselves in our life and going forward what ground we want to be in, what category we want to be in. Praise God. Well, go with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Dad, can I tell Caleb that you said if he doesn't play with me, he's getting spanked? I said, no, you can't. And I said, and if you go tell him that, you're the one that's getting the spank. That shut her up. She got quiet fast. She didn't want to hear anymore. Mark chapter 4 in verse 14. I'm going to read down through verse 20, and we'll just look at some things here in the remaining few minutes that we have. The sower sows the word. So the word is what we're talking about. The word is the main focus of this portion of scripture. And remember, the word is what we just saw, that if the word is done, the right thing is done with the word, you can ask what you will and fruit's going to come forth. Praise God. I'll tell you what, it sure makes me understand why some people don't receive. Don't be not deceived. God's not mocked. I mean, what he says is going to happen. You don't do what he says, it's not going to happen. He says, now these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So he's talking about the word going forth. Now he likens the word to a seed. He likens people to the ground. And what do I always say when we do this series? We tell you that Jesus thinks you're a piece of dirt. He does. You're a piece of dirt to him. but not in a bad way. But anyway, so he says the first ground is the wayside ground, and something happens with that ground. And then in verse 16 says, and these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, a different ground than the wayside ground, who when they have heard the word, which is getting the word cast upon them from the sower, who when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. There's a second ground of people. And these are they which are sown among thorns. They hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That's the third type of person that hears the word. But then there's a fourth person in verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, notice this, receive the word, and here it is, bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Well, remember in John chapter 15, he said, if my words abide in you, and if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it'll be done for you. Here is my Father glorified. He says, I want you to bear much fruit by having these things come forth, but it's depending on the word. Well, in verse 20, it says, they that are sown on good ground, they hear the word, they receive the word, right? And they bring forth fruit. It all goes together. What somebody does or does not do with the word determines how their life looks. It's the truth. It's the truth, praise God. Now, I want to show you some things here before we, next week, we'll go into looking at the individual grounds and different things to make sure that, and the way we do this is we look at these and then we just come humbly. You know, the Bible says if a man would judge himself, he wouldn't be judged. Well, what does that mean? You know, that, you know, you have to understand that a lot of the things that happen to us are not because God wants them to happen to us. There's a penalty for disobedience. There's seed time and harvest. You know, if my child doesn't listen to me and does what they're not supposed to do and they get hurt, that pain that they're receiving is not a penalty from their dad. I didn't hurt them. There was a penalty for disobedience. There was a penalty for not doing the right thing. There's always seed time and harvest. There's the wages of sin is death. Hallelujah. And so we have a part to play in this. And so when we look at these grounds, come humbly. Because remember, correction is not condemnation. When we look at these grounds and you say, wow, I'm definitely the wayside ground. I definitely have a lot of characteristics of that stony or that thorny ground. That's not God saying, you terrible person. That's not Pastor Mike saying, what's wrong with you? Remember, the Bible says God corrects the ones he loves. So when you receive correction from the word, which the word by nature is corrective, Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the word. And he said, in that preaching of the word, he said, tell people which way their lives are wrong. Rebuke people with the word. Correct people with the word. Why? The word is corrective in nature. Why? Because the word is perfect and we are not. And so we sometimes hear things in this that our lives certainly aren't looking like. But that's not God trying to push us down. It's God trying to pull us out, praise God, and put us into a better place. And so when we look at these grounds, come with a sincere, humble heart to look, to judge your own self, not to get into condemnation, but to say, I want to be bettered. I want 2021 to be a year of more fruit. Hallelujah. But I want to show you something here. Number one, the Bible says, the sower sows the word. So the word is considered the seed. Now go to 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. You need to understand this. The devil will tell people a lot of crazy, silly things. I had one person sit across from me until they were blue in the face telling me the word doesn't work for them. 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 Well, they're deceived. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. Notice this, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible calls the word, that seed, that it's incorruptible. It's perfect. But not only that, if you flip backwards a little bit to Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, we'll see something else about this word that goes forth. And now when you see these scriptures, you can see why this can turn into all that fruit. Because it's the seed has so much power and supernatural help packed in it. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God." Now remember, this is the word that's getting sown. Jesus said, if you'll do the right thing with this word, you'll ask what you will, you'll bear much fruit. In Mark chapter 4, he said that the person that does the right thing with this word will bear much fruit. 30, 60, 90, 100 fold it said there. But Hebrews 4 and verse 12, he said, "For the word of God is quick." That means it's alive. "And it is powerful." And I love this. You know what it says? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Woo, the word can do things no natural thing can. "Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." But look at the beginning of that. The word that we're talking about that gets sown, because remember, what causes people to ask what they will and come? Doing the right thing with the word. What causes people to have 30, 60, 100? Doing the right thing with the word. This word is incorruptible. The seed of the word is powerful. It's alive. It's sharp, praise God. It has the potential. So to say, to take the thought and to run with it and to be convinced and to renew your mind that the word doesn't work for you, it's a lie from the pit of hell. The word will work if you'll work the word. Now, maybe you haven't been working the word. Maybe you've been ignorant. And you know, you do have to be skillful. You do have to be skillful with the Bible and the things of God. But you need to know firsthand the seed that has, you know, that potential in it. You know, it's just like, I always use the example, you know, I love, one of my favorite things in the summer is corn on the cob. I love it. You know, you find a good one and you just keep going back to the same spot. But, you know, that corn for to come forth had to be a seed first. And you know, people that plant that corn know how that corn tastes, know how good it is. That's why they plant every year. But when they have that seed in that packet, they know that that seed in that packet has the ability to produce something wonderful.
That's right.
Amen. They don't question the seed. They've planted it. They know it works. The word is perfect. It's incorruptible. It's powerful. It's alive. Hallelujah. Now, you are the ground. Remember, the sower sows the word? Wayside, stony, thorny, good ground. You determine, here we go, now think of this, even though the seed is packed with power, goodness, ability to bring forth much fruit, you determine the growth as the ground, not the seed. Luke 8 and verse 18. You need to know this because it'll help you to straighten up on your end and do your part, praise God. Because you got to do your part with the word. Luke 8 and verse 18. "Take heed, therefore, how you hear." Well, what's the hearing of the word? Well, it's likened to having the word sown onto you. When the gardener goes out and sows seed, that's the preaching. The ground being hit with the word is the hearing. And Jesus said, you can't just hear it and do anything you want with it. We saw in that group of people that there were four groups of people, all four of them heard it. Every one of them heard it. The wayside heard it, the stony heard it, and the thorny heard it, and nothing happened with it. But yet the same seed fell on them. I was drinking a smoothie recently, trying to fit into all my suits. Still not there yet. That's why you're like, doesn't he wear that suit a lot? Yes, he does. Because I can't get into my other ones yet, so I'm working on it. Trying to get better here. Praise God. So I was eating a smoothie. And, you know, it had baby spinach in it. It had protein powder in it. It had flax seeds in it. I mean, I'm just going for it. And also, it had blackberries in it. Well, I love at the end with the blackberry seeds. I love the texture of them. I love to chew on them. I love to break them between my teeth, you know, and mess up. And I got to thinking, my goodness, I just swallowed a whole lot of blackberry seeds. What's that going to be like if a blackberry bush grows in my belly? That's a thought I was having. I mean, I just consumed a seed. But I know that seed that can produce a blackberry bush, just because it's been planted inside me, just because it's in me, is not going to grow into a blackberry bush in my belly. Even though if you put those same seeds into fertile ground, those same seeds will produce. But when they go into me, they're not producing a blackberry bush. Why? It's not the right ground. It's not that the seed can't produce more blackberries. It's that the ground was the wrong kind. Amen. Hallelujah. And you have to understand that the Word is alive and powerful. The word is incorruptible. Nothing can stop the Word. Nothing can stop the Word. And if the Word's not working, it's not because God's fault or that the Word has lost its power. It's because the ground needs to change. Amen. Number three, we're almost done here. So number one, the Word, the seed is blessed. Number two, you're the ground. Number three, this is all kind of the same in the same lines here, but it says, it's the Word that causes the growth here. You have to understand, it's the Word that causes the growth. Now, why do I say it's the Word that causes the growth? And why am I stressing that to you? I've already talked to you about this, told you it's the seed. And remember, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you do the right thing with the Word of God, you'll bear much fruit. Mark 4 and verse 20 said. The reason I'm telling you this is if you take away the Word from somebody's life, you take away their opportunity to produce harvest. Now, why does that matter? Well, tonight it doesn't, because you're all here. You all can say, you're preaching to the choir here tonight, Pastor Mike. But let's be honest. How many people go weeks and weeks without any Word watering their lives, without any Word getting sown into them? And then when it's time and they need a harvest, there's no harvest, but there was never any planting of any Word. Hallelujah. Oh boy. No planting of the Word, praise God. Got to have the Word planted. Now, real quick, go back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Actually, before, Kim Lai, go to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Look at this. Actually, I'm going to save that for next week. We'll save that. Keep going back to where you were. Mark chapter 4. Just keep going back. Mark chapter 4. It's good to keep you on your toes, you know. Or I just need to get my act together. One or two things are... It's happening here. Either I'm trying to keep you on your toes, or I'm trying to get my act together. But in Mark chapter 4, notice this in verse 15. These are they by the wayside where the Word is sown, but when they've heard, notice the first thing that happens that he points out that can happen with the Word. Satan comes to take it. Satan comes to take it. You know what COVID really boils down to a lot of things? But COVID really ripped the Word out of a lot of people's lives. It did. It ripped the Word out, and the devil says, got him. And that's what you're going to see in all of the things, whether it's distractions, whether it's persecutions and afflictions, they're all assaults against God's Word. Why? Because if you can remove the Word out of people's lives, they can't bear much fruit. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the truth. And that's probably where we'll start next week in picking up on that topic. But we have one more point tonight, but that's probably where we're going to start next week, going into these grounds, because that's the first, you know, there's actually a fifth ground here that's not mentioned. It's the people that don't even hear the Word. And there are a whole lot of ground Christians like that don't even hear any Word at all. I need healing. I need prosperity. My kids need this. I need, what you'd be saying is what? I need the fruit of God to bear forth in my life. Okay, there's only one way it's going to happen. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Mike. You're welcome. You are so welcome. It's my pleasure. Last but not least, if you go back to in Mark chapter 4, he lists four grounds that the word falls on. All of them heard the word. But notice this. Even though the most powerful, supernatural thing fell on their life, that has the ability to bring forth things like grace and peace and prosperity and healing and joy and love and faith and victory, everything you need. Even though that seed falls on them, the majority of people will not produce fruit. Now, when you hear this, oh gosh, I hope I'm not one of them. You determine what ground you are. Amen? If you'll judge yourselves and make changes, if you'll renew your mind, if you'll make adjustments, praise God, we're not just stuck being whatever ground. You might locate yourself and say, I'm the wayside ground, I'm the stony, I'm the thorny ground. Well, do something with that ground and get over into the good ground. You're not stuck like that. I would consider myself good ground. I'm not perfect, and gosh, I have not arrived yet. But from where I was, from when I got born again in 2002 to 2021, the ground's been worked a little bit. The ground's been fertilized a little bit. The ground's been cultivated a little bit. And I'm bearing more fruit now than I ever was back then. Why? The ground was off. The ground was off. Now, notice this. In all of these things here, in Mark chapter 4, verse 14 through 20, every one of them heard the word. Yet notice this. Jesus said, now, Jesus is the sower. This is the results he gets. Jesus himself, why? The word Jesus sows is no different than the word I sow. When you talk to people about the word, it's the same word Jesus was sowing. He said the results will be that 75% of people, 3 out of 4, will not get anything out of the word. The opportunity was there. Only 25%, and then even in the 25%, there's different categories. He said even in the good ground, some will get 30, some will get 60, some will get 100-fold. Amen. What's he trying to show us? Man, oh man, we have a part to play. It's not about this religious game in 2021 of just going through the motions, tiptoeing through the tulips, just thinking God's just going to bless me because I'm a good person. Because I'm moral. Because I love him. Because I listen to the right music. So what? Because I don't watch the bad movie. So what? That's not how fruit comes forth. Doing the right thing with the word. Now those things might fall into the categories of doing the right things with the word, but those things don't make the blessings come. Remember when Jesus, I'm going to give you two examples and we'll close. Jesus appeared to over 500 people, the Bible said. Now, he appeared to over 500 people, and what did he tell those 500 people? Well, the same thing he told the ones that showed up. What did he tell everyone? Don't not show up in Jerusalem. He did. He told them, go to Jerusalem, wait there for the promise of the Father. Do not leave till you get this. Well, the Bible says he appeared to over 500 people. We can safely assume that Jesus, now again, I can't prove it by the word, but you can't disprove it, but we can look at the word and the principle and look at the love of Jesus and what he would say to assume that he would tell the good news not to just 120 people. But also by the principles of the parable of the sower, we know that he wouldn't have 100% success. That if Jesus told 120 people to do something, 120 people wouldn't do it. That's what he said. So we can safely assume that Jesus would have told all the people that he appeared to, hey, there's a promise coming from the Father. There's a why he's no respecter of people. So we can safely assume that. But how many people showed up for the promise of the Holy Ghost? 120. You know what 120 is out of 500? Right about 25%. Amen? I one time preached a message, and it was a smaller group. And in this message, I told people specific things from the Bible that they could do in their life practically to walk that out to be a doer of the word. I said, this is what you can do. And I gave that small group of people, and there were 20 people in that service. And I told them what to do, And so time had passed, months went by, and I said at the end of the service, I don't know if I was preaching on this or if it just came up in my heart, but I said, how many of you, because it was a revolving different crowd, how many of you were in that service and there was some other people that weren't there, but there were the 20 that were there that were in that service? And I said, bow your heads and close your eyes. I said, I'm not doing this to judge you. I said, I'll tell you why after. I'm not, you know, and I'm not trying to make you look bad and no one else is going to see it. But I said, out of show of hands, out of the 20 people that actually did what I said to do, told you what the word said to do, which means that's what you should do, how many did it? You know how many hands went up? Five. Five out of 20. What is it? One-fourth. What did Jesus say? When you sow the word, one-fourth of the people are going to actually be the ones that do it. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing to me that I have preached the same series and same messages, the same word, the same powerful seed, the same preaching, same illustration, same analogies to people. And some people absolutely take it and run with it, and things start coming forth in their life. And some people's lives never look different year after year after year after year. Jake's sitting out there. Of course, he's the head usher here now. And Heather can finally be here now. We have nursery open. We're glad Heather's here. Jake did not forsake her. She's here, praise God. But when Jake came to me, Jake was a mess. Told you this story. Jake was on drugs. He's shaking his head out there, addicted. He had sicknesses, much medication, addictions in his life, wrong thinking, depression, broke as can be. And he came to me, and I took him out to Applebee's. This is when we were over in Holiday Inn now, but the Hampton where we started. And I took him to Applebee's. I said, this is going to sound kind of cultish. That's always a good thing to tell someone when you're just first meeting with them. I said, but let me finish. I said, what I'm going to say, let me qualify the end of the statement, because what I say at first is going to sound cultish. I said, but whatever I say from this point forward, do whatever I tell you to do. I said, now, that sounds crazy, I know. But everything that I tell you to do is going to come out of this book. What am I saying? Jake, I am going to sow the word into your life. That's what I was saying to him. And I was telling him, Jake, and I said, Jake, you won't even recognize your life in a year. I said, if you'll do what I say, which is just being a good ground. Again, we're not trying to lead people to drink the Kool-Aid around here. Always look at the Bible, not just what the preacher says. But that's why I told him. I said, everything I say is going to come out of here, and you can bring it back to the Bible. I'll give you chapter and verse. I said, if you'll do that, you won't recognize your life. What was I saying? Jake, if you do the right thing, things are going to spring forth in your life. Yeah. I did. I told him that. And he went from addicted, tons of medication, depressed, broke, poverty, all the fun things, you know, to now being the head usher of our church. Amen. You still have rental properties, don't you? Rental properties, business owners. Him and his wife were told that she was never going to have a baby, weren't you? Doctor said it was impossible. But they believed God. And they took God at his word, praise God, didn't you? Yeah. And now, Jake, how many addictions you got? How much medication are you on for that? None of it. Well, that wasn't yay for Pastor Mike. I didn't do it. The Word did it. I just sowed it and let the Word work. But if you'll receive God's Word and let it do what it's supposed to do, and how? Go through these grounds with me. Make adjustments. Because if you're a bad ground, you are hindering yourself from that coming forth. And just be honest with yourself. I got to change some things. Amen. We get in our own way too much. Hallelujah. Well, I love this series. I'm excited for this series. So we're gonna pick it up again next week. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Let's just worship him together. We praise you for the word tonight. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. Hallelujah. When I came to my pastor, I was a mess too. But he started to tell me what to do with my money, about the word, tell me what to do with my life, tell me what to do. Pointed to the word. I just did it, stupidly enough, just did it. And man, did things change for me. Praise God. Father, I thank you for your precious word. Father, we magnify and exalt the word here tonight. We're not magnifying and exalting a preacher or a minister. No, it's not the preacher or the minister. It's the word, Father. It's what's done right with the Word. So, Father, I pray that people will get excited about this, that they would say, you know what, His will is for me to bear much fruit. You know, even if I'm bearing some fruit, He didn't say some fruit, He said much fruit. Maybe I'm bearing no fruit. We want you to bear much fruit. I pray that people would see this, recognize this, take it to heart, and come and show up humbly and show up with reverence and honor and respect towards the Word of God and be correctable, Father, and make the changes that they need to make. Father, it's not the things we're doing right that are hurting us. It's the things we're doing wrong. So, Father, we thank You for this series. We thank You for the fruit that's going to be produced in this series. And we say we're different. We're going forward different. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. All heads bowed, all eyes closed, please. I want everybody to ask themselves a question. And this, for you online, pay attention to this. Service isn't over yet. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question in my mind, the answer is a resounding yes, I would. It's not even a question. I'm not nervous about it. I'm not wondering. It is yes, 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 yes. And so if you're here tonight or if you're watching online, you say, my answer is not yes, I don't know, or I think so, or I hope so. Get off that fence of eternity. God doesn't want you to wonder about your salvation or where you're going. Heaven is made for you. He gave it for you. It's a free gift. It's simple. Jesus said, if you believe on me, you would not perish, but have everlasting life, that you can go see the Father just by believing on Him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't care if you've been to church. I don't care if you've been a good person. I don't care if you think you've been too bad to receive from Him. It's all about what you do with Jesus. And Romans 10:9 is your outline. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. And so I first would ask you, do you believe in Jesus? Now, that doesn't mean you know all the Word or you know everything or understand everything. I mean, in your heart of hearts, you could say, I know Jesus is real. If you do, you're a candidate. You're qualified for salvation. The only thing you'd have left to do is to call on His name. And so heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you. Won't have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. If you've never received Jesus and you want to receive Him and know that you know that you know that you're heaven bound, would you just slip your hand up in the air and I'll have you put it right back down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. I want to be sure. Get off the fence of eternity. Is there anybody else you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? Church attendance doesn't get you in. Morality doesn't get you in. And your bad works can't keep you out. Is there anybody else that has never received Jesus that wants to receive Him tonight in here? Well, Father, we had one hand. And Lord, if there was others, I pray they would get involved with this prayer. But also, I can't see those that are online. And so, the Bible says, call on His name. So we have a part to play when it comes to salvation. It doesn't just fall into our lap. And so for that person that raised their hand or anybody else that should have or those online that I can't see your hands, we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to confess Jesus as Lord. We're going to confess our belief in Him. And He's going to do His part. He's going to come into your life. He's going to save you. And so for that person that raised their hand, those that should have, those that are online, along with everybody else in here, let's lift our voice and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You died and rose again. And I believe that on that cross, You took my sin. And Father, I thank You for saving me through Your Son Jesus. I make Him my Lord and my Savior tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here. If you prayed that for the first time, of course, let me know, especially if you're online, and give me a phone call, send me an email. If you're here and you didn't raise your hand, let me know. God has more for you. Amen. Heaven is yours now, but you still got a long life to live. Until then, you might as well learn how to live it victoriously and successfully. And so, hallelujah. Of course, I just want to remind you, we're going to, as soon as service dismissed, if you have kids in nursery, please go down there and relieve the nursery worker. Be kind. Be very thankful. I mean, how nice is it to have people to serve so you can be up here? Praise God. And then if you want to come back and pray, you can, but we're going to get praying immediately. So we just ask that you dismiss quietly. If you can't pray here with us, make sure you're praying on your own. Put your offering in the bucket as it goes by or as you leave the service. And we'll see you next Saturday for part two. Love you. Appreciate you. You're dismissed. We'll pray here in a minute.